I want to say gracias to God. Oh, okay. This is okay. Thank you. I want to thank God for each and every one of you. Because if it wasn't for you, God would not have sent his son to die on the cross. That was for you and that was for me. Because see, the Bible, oh my God. Bible actually means book. So as far as pages, binders, cover, it's a book like any other book. What makes the Bible different and why it's called Holy Bible? Did you know the Bible itself is not holy? Because it contains the words of the devil, it contains sin, and none of that is holy. But what the Bible does testify about itself is holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So this is the word of God. It excites me so much. That's where I've had a desire a lot of years ago to want to preach, to want to proclaim the word of God. Some people think that I shout Jesus the way I do because I have this kind of bass, booming voice. But God never told me, yeah, I want you to use that voice to shout my son the Savior Jesus Christ. To me, as a person, and you can say the name of Jesus and whisper it, and it's still the name of Jesus. But for me, I just don't like to say it. Yeah, you know, I'd say it in conversation and all, but in an open forum, I just don't like to say it any other way. I can't give that name what it deserves. I am but a man, a sinner, saved by grace. But it's very hard for me to say in front of people, Jesus. It seems like I'm kind of tamping his name down. Because you see, there's none other name given under heaven amongst men whereby we must be saved. So I like to say it, Jesus. Woo! Yes. Because see, this is the Bible. This is the word of God. Okay, I got one. This is the word of God. And God gives me the privilege and the opportunity. Yo, I love Blessed Assurance. You might not believe this, but it was just a thought. I was going to request with the pastor to sing a song because what I'm going to preach to you tonight is God gives me license about the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ. So I was going to request a song. And you know what song I was going to request? I love to tell the story. But see, God knew. Jesus knew. Jesus, we're talking Christo here. He knew what was in my heart, in my Bible, and on my mind. So he went ahead of me. And they not only sang it, but they sang it so well, so eloquently. That's why I just get excited about the Word of God. If just me or just one of you, young or old, was born into sin, I'm being hypothetical, or if none of us had sinned, but one person, I'll choose myself. If I was the only one that ever sinned, I believe that this Bible would still have been written the same way. Salvation is it's personal. You see, the Bible says God is love. Y'all say amen. God is love. And they that worship him must worship him in love and in truth. I can sit here, but I can only do what I do with the Bible in my hand because I might not know all of you. But I love each and every one of you, young and old, man and women. And I love some of the people that are not here. Why? Because I know that you have husbands, wives, children, cousins, neighbors that you love. And I don't know them. But see, God so loved the world. So if God can love the world, we need to love the world too. But see, talking about myself, I love. I was on the phone with your pastor, a month and a half ago, maybe 2 months. And I'm sitting in the handicapped spot where I park in my complex called Four Seasons. And a woman came up that lives in my building. Her name was Mary. And it just laid on my heart. Like I said, see, I want to spread the love of God because it's what the Word is about. And so I said, hold on. Yeah, I'm talking to him on the Bluetooth in the car. I hold on a minute, Pastor. I said, Mary. She said, yeah. I said, I love you. She looked at me. She gave me an answer that I never thought I would hear by saying that to somebody, man or woman. I said, and your pastor heard me. I said, Mary, I love you. She told me, like, so? You love everybody because you believe in Jesus. I wish I loved everybody. I'm supposed to love everybody. God is love. But I'm going to be honest with you, I don't. I see things on the news and this type of thing, and, you know, when people are shooting little kids in school, the first thing thought comes to my mind, I'll admit this to you, Bible says confess your fault under men. I look in and I say, I hate that person. Why did they have to do what they did? But God is love. My mother's in the hospital. Pray for her. She went the other day. I went to Rhode Island Hospital maybe 2 hours, about 6 o'clock. To pick up my sister who was visiting my mother. If you've been to Rhode Island Hospital, you know when you go in the main building, there's a drive around. And on the side of the main entrance, there was a bunch of men and women, young and old, sitting there. I'd say about 10 or less people. They were kind of dressed just in black and white. And then I noticed one of the men, even though he had his baseball cap on backwards, he had a slang term, he was chilling, he had these two braids coming down the side. And then I looked at the other people, and some of the young men, they had on the, I forget what you call them, but I just call it, not mocking, but a little beanie on the top. In other words, they were Jewish people. And I'm sitting there, my sister's not coming yet, And I just felt compelled. Maybe I was, maybe I wasn't. But even the message tonight is the good news, the gospel. It's about the love of God. So one of the young men, he went to the side of the group, and he was leaning on the fence, and when he turned to come back, I had to beat my horn. He looked at it. So another woman, probably his sister or maybe his mother, she looked over at me, and she said, "Is there a problem?" I said, "No, ma'am, I'm sorry. There's not a problem." I said, "You are Jewish people. I love you because Jesus loves you." She looked at me and she says, "We're here to see my sister." I saw in the car in front of me where they had got out, they were from maybe Chicago, Illinois, or whatever. But I had to get that message out. It was my desire and wish that one of them would have came over to me and said, "What are you talking about? Or who are you talking about?" I wouldn't have cared if they would have said, because a lot of Jews are not saved. They're waiting for Messiah to come, but they say Jesus is a fake. He's not him. Okay? And I wish they would have asked so that I could have said more. But there's none other name given under heaven amongst men whereby we must be saved. When God laid this message on my heart, it was a few messages that was laid on my heart, but when God laid this message on my heart, I'm saying that, I don't know. Over the years, how many times have I preached this message? How many times have I heard other people preach this message? Man looks on the outward appearance. The Lord looks on the heart. I assume that everybody here is saved, but I don't know that. I can tell you what the Word of God, and I'm going to do that in just a few moments, what the Word of God says about salvation. But I can't tell you, yes, you are saved, or no, you are not. But I've sang a song before, and part of it goes, "But in the Word of God, I've found an answer. Christo, Jesus." So what I'm going to tell you about in preaching, and not so much testimony, is when I got saved. I'm going to make a long story short. I don't remember. A lot of people fret about that, a lot of Christians. "Oh, no, I don't remember the exact day that I got saved. I don't remember the exact time. I remember the year. Maybe I remember the month. Okay, but I don't remember the day. I know my natural birthday, but I don't know my rebirth day." It's not a question of what day, what time, what moment you got saved. The question is, are you sure? Did you get saved? A lot of people will say, "Well, I got baptized." And I've told them, I said, "Okay, you remember that? Oh, yeah, I got a baptismal certificate." "Okay," I said, "then if that's it, that's where your salvation lies, you only got one problem." And they said, "Okay, you tell me, what is that?" I said, "You need to get saved." They said, "Didn't I just tell you I got baptized in church?" Baptism is not salvation. You went down in the water. We got a baptistry here. Is the baptistry filled with blood? And even if it was, I can tell you what, it would stink. It would stink. It would stain. Only the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, cleanseth us from all sin. So I'm taking you back to the beginning. It won't take that long. I was in the army. I was in Germany. All my life, people had, from a kid up, tried to witness to me, handing me tracts and this type of thing. One guy used to stare at me so much. He was a cook in the army, and he was kind of a little guy. And we used to go to work at the same time. I was a military policeman. He was a cook. And so we waited for a vehicle to give us a ride to where we had to go to actually work from the barracks. There was a day room, pool table, and stuff like that. And I'd be sitting there, you know, leaning on the pool table. And he's at another table on the other side. And he's staring at me. And you know how you can tell when somebody's staring at you. And then I'd go and look. And then he'd put his head down. I'll be honest with you, I thought the guy was gay. So this went on for a week or two, and we had the same schedule. So one day I went up to the guy, I said, hey, I need to speak to you. And he kind of was shaking. He said, what? You know, I guess I'm a big guy, he's a little guy. And I'm a military policeman, he's a cook. I says, what is it with you? I said, do you like me? I mean, do you like guys instead of girls? His eyes got big. He said, no! I said, then why do you stare at me? I walk across and you're following me in this type of thing. He said, I had something I want to give you. Okay, what is it you'd like to give me? He reached in his pocket. And he pulled out a gospel tract called Chick Publications. And I said, this is what you wanted to do? And he said, well, I'll be honest with you. He said, I wanted to tell you about Jesus Christ. But he said, you're kind of big. You're kind of intimidating. You're military policeman. You got a badge and all this kind of stuff. You know, and they probably, you know, you probably chose that for that reason. He said that I was scared. I bring that up to you. I was at Fort Campbell in Kentucky. I hadn't been to Germany yet. But to just show you and give you testimony how the Lord was trying to get me saved. You know, the Word of God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. People hear the gospel like you're hearing tonight. And they know they're not saved. Or they know of somebody in their family, friends, neighbors that are not saved. You know, the Bible says this, and I'm quoting scripture. I can give you the references if you'd like, but for the sake of time, I'm not having you to turn there. But I'm not changing the quote. The Bible says, if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost. Like I said, I'll assume that everybody here is saved, but I don't know that. Maybe God's got me here tonight to preach the gospel in such a way that somebody would say, hold it. I've never done that. I don't have forgiveness of my sins. Now, if you're saved tonight, the devil can still talk to you and make you doubt. And that's not God's purpose. That's not my purpose. God's word says, to him that doubteth, to him it is sin. You're, even as a Christian, you're sinning again if you doubt, because God's word is sure. But let's take it to the beginning. The Bible says this. I know these verses, but I like you to see me turning pages to let you know. And what I'm getting is from the Word of God. So I'm going to the very first verse in the whole Bible, in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1. Do you realize that the Bible, you'll hear me say this on and on, is the Word of God? It's the engrafted word of God. So when God says in the beginning, those are the very first words that God ever spoke to man. In this case, in English, or if you got a Spanish Bible, in Spanish. Now, the original was Hebrew, Old Testament, and the New Testament was Greek. But for me, in English, these are the very first words that God ever spoke to man. It says, in the beginning, and note this, if it was in the beginning, whoever put this here had to be before the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You know something? The whole Bible could be that one verse. And if we would take God at his word, we'd all be saved. But we got this, if I'm saying it right, Darwinism, theory of evolution. That man started out a fish, and then he got out of the water and walked upright. I see a man kind of smiling. That's stupid. They look at me and say, oh, so you know so much, you tell me what's the truth. I said, like Paul said, I profess to know nothing but Jesus Christ. And him crucified. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So I take you to the beginning of salvation. In moving right along in John chapter 1, verse 1, the word of God says, in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And notice that word in the King James Bible, I'm sure in the Spanish Bible, it isn't like word just W-O-R-D. It has a capital W. That means it doesn't just mean word. It's a specific name. In English, we call it, if it was a small W, it's a noun. But now this is a pronoun. A particular person, place, or thing. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And I don't want to change it, but I like to say, is God. Now look at that again. But I'm going to say it a little bit different. But see if you can see I'm not changing it. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now let's go down to verse 12. But as many, and in English that word many is spelled M-A-N-Y. You take the M off, it says any. This pertains to you. This pertains to me. This pertains to the whole world that God loved. But as many as received who? Him. The Word, Jesus, to them gave he power, not weakness, but power. Power to do what? To become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. For me, how can I not shout Jesus? A woman told me, a pastor's wife one time, she told me, she said, Leon, I know that God hears our prayers and our voices, but she said, the way that you shout Jesus, you even get God's attention. I said, well, praise God. There's none other name given under heaven amongst men whereby we must be saved. In the beginning, let's go to the book which we are studying with Pastor Q and now as a church, the book of 1 John. Chapter 1, verse 1. We had Genesis 1:1. We had John 1:1. Now we have 1 John 1:1. And the word of God says this: that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, there it is again, the word of life. Go back to the book of John. Chapter 3. Verse 16. So you know where I'm going. I don't know. Do you ever get tired of John 3:16? I don't. If I've read it, if I've prayed it, if I've said it, if I've preached it, if I've heard it preached 100 times in my life, as they sang in that song, I seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. If I'm already saved, it gives me a blessed assurance of my salvation. And if I'm not, it's what I need in order to get saved. And if I am saved, it recharges my batteries so that I can go tell my mother, I can go tell my father, I can go tell my sister, my brother, my neighbor. Right now, when I look at that, it's what makes me want to shout, Jesus Christ. Look at what it says in John chapter 3, verse 15. In the King James Bible, it says that whosoever, and in English, there's three words. I don't know how I said it in Spanish, but in English, there's three words. It says who. Who does salvation, who does the good news, who does Jesus Christ, who does the gospel pertain to? You might say, none of them. Those heathen. Ain't got nothing to do with them. Do you really know that? Do you know that they're heathen? Guess what? I'd say, why do you say they're heathen? Because they're sinners. Uh-oh. We got a problem. Because if you believe the Bible is the word of God, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if that makes them heathen, guess what? God says, with what judgment ye meet, therewith ye shall be judged. You just called yourself a heathen too. So who does this pertain to? That word, whosoever. Somebody said they're heathen. I say, so. The word of God lasts forever. For who, verse 15, John chapter 3, that whosoever believeth. Let me stop right there a moment. Now, I remember when I was first heard this, preached this, taught this, whatever. Yeah, I kind of actually skim over that word. I know what that means, believe. But it's a little more complicated. It's a little more in-depth than that. If a person comes up to you on the corner and says, sir, If you give me $20, I will come back to this spot in 1 hour, and I will give you $40. So I got to go. I can't explain. Let me have that $20, please. I ain't trying to rob you or anything, but, I mean, why wouldn't you give it to me and be back in an hour and double your money? You'd probably tell them. I know I would. I'd tell them no. I don't know you. I don't know if you're a liar. I don't have a reason to trust you. I don't have a reason to believe you. I don't have any hope that you'll be back in an hour. See, the point I'm making is all those words are in the word belief, and they're synonymous. That whosoever trust in him, that whosoever hopes in him, that whosoever has faith in him, that whosoever trust in the Lord. What is his name? Jesus. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The word of God says this: for the wages of sin is death. People say, how can you say that? Did I say that, or did I just tell you what's in the Bible, what's in the word of God? If there's somebody here right now that don't believe that the Bible is the clear, unadulterated word of God, if Pastor Q won't allow it, I invite you to leave, because I don't have anything I can tell you. I sang a little bit in the beginning and said, in the word of God, I found an answer. They sang, I love to tell the story of Jesus and his glory. Do you know why whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life? For God so loved the world. I'm going to have to stop there real quick for a moment. I've said this to people, and for good reason, they looked at me and said, when I preached this before, even at Historic, I said, you know, the Bible doesn't say that God loves you. And I did that on purpose, and they, how can you say that? You just read it. John 3:16. I says, but I didn't read it. See, I'd have to leave a word out if it said, for God loved the world. No, see, God takes it to a godly level. For God so loved the world. I remember on Thanksgiving, it laid on my heart, and I emphasized that, sitting at the dining room table. And the Elder Q, and his eyes lit up. For God so loved the world that he gave. See, when we read the Bible, you know, some people will read it, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, and go to the next verse. I'll be honest with you, I don't believe in that. You got to savor the flavor. You got to, this is the word of God. You're reading a book like Moby Dick or something like that? Okay, then maybe you can just, you know, for God so loved the world. This is made to stop. People say, well, I don't like the King James Version because we don't talk that way anymore. Who are we? God's English or God's Spanish teacher? We need to talk that way today because God said so. For God so loved the world that he gave. Now, you should stop there in your mind and say, okay, we're talking God. We're talking the word of God. Almost, you know, sometimes how it's good to study the word of God, even if you've heard it 100 times, kind of act like you don't understand. Because God will give understanding. So I say, for God so loved the world that he gave. Okay, God, what did you give? his only begotten Son. Jesus didn't die on the cross that day because God said, I'm bored. Hey, son, get on the cross and die. He did it for you, and he did it for me. Hallelujah. He secured our salvation. We were singing tonight. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in his name. Let me tell you something. I love to tell the story of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. Cristo. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn. That means to judge the world. The world was already condemned. But that the world through him might be saved. Notice that God's word doesn't say that the world through him would be saved. He used the word might. Why did he use that word in English? Because most people might not hear the message. They might not believe it. And that is the majority of the people. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. Because they don't believe. Now, what I'm telling you, what God's saying to you, it does take faith. Some people say, I don't have the faith in order to get saved. I don't have the faith to believe. Guess what? Nobody's born with that. Nobody has the faith to believe. They might deceive themselves. They might think it, but nobody has the faith. So, okay, Brother Thompson, Brother Leon, do you have faith? Yes, I do. Where does your faith come from? In the book of Romans, chapter 10, the word of God says this, and I quote, "So then, faith cometh by hearing." Amen! Hearing by the word of God. It's all here. And you know what else it says about faith? The Bible says if we have faith as much as a grain of mustard seed, you could have that on the tip of your finger and might not feel it and couldn't see it. You might rub your eye and get it in your eye and say, oh, I got something in my eye. That's how small it is. A grain of mustard seed is actually the size of, or maybe even slightly smaller than, a grain of sand on the beach. But if you got that much, the Bible says it's mountain moving faith. Anybody can be saved. There's a song, "Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. For God sent not his son," I'm reading verse 17, "for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Look at this. Verse 18 of John chapter 3. "He that believeth," I mean he that hope, he that has faith, he that has trust, "he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." It's why I say, Jesus, it's time, let's close. Go to me. Go with me. To Romans chapter 10. The Apostle Paul is speaking to them that are in Rome, mainly the Jews that are in Rome. But anybody that would hear the word of God, anybody that would listen. Oh, I don't compare myself with the Apostle Paul, but I don't compare myself with my pastor. I don't compare myself with either one of you. Wretched man that I am. I'm talking about the little children, too. But what I compare myself with is the word of God. Now, I have a lot of darkness with me, but the Bible says that Jesus is a light that shines in darkness. Darkness cannot exist. We had that here. Darkness cannot exist when there's light. It could be pitch black in here so that you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. But if someone turns on a flashlight or someone lights a match or a candle, you might not be able to see everybody in the room, but you can see your hand in front of your face. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. There's that word might again. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, in other words, not believing God, not taking God at his word, not going by what's in the Bible. So they're going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. See, I like to say this in short. You know why we have so many different religions? Roman Catholics, Episcopalians, Presbyterians, Jehovah's Witnesses, which that's a cult, but still, and Pentecostal, and all these different religions. If we could sum it up, what religion is, what denominations are, is man's way of serving God. The Bible is God's way of serving God. We need to go by the word, not even what our one child had argued with me about 14 years old. Me and Pastor Preston was out knocking on doors witnessing to people. And long story short, she said, well, my grandfather and grandmother, they passed this on to my mother and father, who are both ministers, and you're telling me that they're wrong. I said to her, sweetheart, let me just ask you a question. What if, I'm being hypothetical, what if your grandmother and grandfather was taught the wrong thing thinking it was right? Then they taught your mother and father the wrong thing thinking it was right. And you're here arguing with me. She says, then nobody can know that. I said, yes, she can. Go by one of these. This says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and ever, and evermore. He doesn't change. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now I'm going to witness. Go down to verse 9. That if thou, people say, I don't understand that. Yeah, okay. If I told you right now that if thou report tomorrow morning to the state house, and you had reason to believe I'm telling the truth. And I said that if thou report to the state house, you will get a voucher for $10 million, no questions asked. You're going to tell me, I don't understand that word thou. No, you're going to be at the state house tomorrow morning to get your $10,000. See, you can understand when you want to understand. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, that word confess in the Greek, now you have to know that, means like acknowledge, act like you know. The word of God is true. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, you don't have to say it that way, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Not would be, not could be, not should be, but you will be saved. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Jesus. But see, that's why I told you that before. That's how it comes from me. That's how I feel about Jesus. That's how I verbalize Jesus. I'm not just saying it because, what could I say today? Jesus, you have to believe what you're saying. And you don't have to say it. You don't have my voice. You don't have to say it like I say it. Matter of fact, the Bible says man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. In a way, you could shout it in your heart, not make a sound, but shout it in your heart. God will hear it. I almost believe in one case, if it's in your heart or out loud, I almost think of what God would say. You know what he's going to say? He's going to say, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You want to please your mother and father, your sister, brother? What do? You find out something that pleases them. And then you do it. We need to find out what pleases God. He said it was his beloved son. So you confess with your mouth, because you believe it is true in your heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. That's like somebody coming to me and I was ashamed. And they say, are you a Christian? I say, yeah. You a Christian or not? How do you get saved? What is his name? Jesus. See, if somebody would actually come to me with that, are you a Christian? I'd just say yes. They say, okay, who saved you? What is his name? I'd try to tell them. If it's a woman with her hair hanging down, I'd tell her, pin it back. Hold it. I'd tell a man, kind of do like this. He said, what are you going to say? Jesus. That man believes in Jesus. Finally, my life verse, because everything I told you in the beginning up till now, why I love this verse. It says everything I've told you in one verse. How many words? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 words. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If I remember right, the first time I heard that. Person showing me that and telling me that, showing it to me in the Word of God. And I'm saying, but what? You don't know me. You don't know the skeletons I have in the closet. God does. Matter of fact, they said, Leon, take the worst skeleton you got in the closet. I don't want you to say nothing to me about it. You probably wouldn't anyway. But take the worst skeleton in the closet that you don't believe nobody knows about. You might would be in jail if somebody knew about it. But that nobody knows about, okay, and kind of put it in the forefront of your mind. You don't have to smile or frown, just put it right there. Okay, I'm not going to tell you. No, I'm not. Okay, it's there. They said, now, look at the word of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Look at that in your mind again. Look at the word of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, I can do that 15 times. It's not going to change. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the word of God. You got somebody you need to witness to? You need to reassure yourself? The question is, has you called on the name of Jesus? Got nothing to do with what you did. Ain't got nothing to do with what you're going to do. A man was telling a famous preacher, what's going to happen if I get saved and I sin after I get saved? The man told him, he said, so let me get this right. You're saying if I sin in the future, what's going to happen? Maybe that means I'm not saved. He said, Jesus died over 2,000 years ago. You weren't even born. You weren't even a thought. All of your sins were in the future. Jesus paid it all. It's all to him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, I rest God's case. Thank you for allowing me to preach the word of God to you.